And he joins us every week here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, the one and only Bernie Kosar. Bernie, we talked, I know, after Sunday's game, and it still lingers, the emotional, the heartbreak, and not that that's a new experience for us, but I think seeing that after just after this game in particular, overtime, and really with a chance to win this game, and coming out of it, a real sense of frustration.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a broken record. I know you do too. But this was a tough one because, God, we played so good, and there were so many chances. And, you know, literally, we have been saying a few plays, five plays, a half dozen plays. This game was any number of plays. Just one play could have made the difference. And from the positive side, yes, it shows we're getting closer. From the negative side, we're 2-8. And at the end of the day, you are who your record is, and that part is discouraging. That being said, just one play the other day, and we can name 10 of them, that just if one of them goes the right way, we win the game. So as I look at this as a player situation, and me as the player, like, I want to make that play, and I want to talk to the guys. And these guys, I know a few of them, and they want to make that play. And that's the positive side of it right now, is just that player, too, they know can make a difference in a W or an L, and it's could be just that one play. I mean, a gunner on punt coverage, you know, you think you just run down there, and boy, that kid, number 17, I forget his name, for Dallas, makes an unbelievable run in overtime or towards the end of the game to kind of put him in that position. You know, Josh Cribbs makes that unbelievable punt return to put us in a position to get to overtime. You know, we had a chance to close them out at that point, too. I mean, there's so many things in that game that, again, I don't want to sound like a broken record. I don't want to sound like a homer, but I see so many positive things. And from a player perspective, as players, we need to want to make that play, not hope that Vic Carucci makes that play, or, you know, somebody else makes the play, or that coach calls the perfect play. When you get that close as a player, you need to want to make it. You need to want to do it. And I think now, after watching, you know, 10 games and 4 preseason games, that we have guys that can make those plays.
Right. And Bernie, as you look at the attitude of this team too, I think you start to build up a sense, among these younger players especially, this sense of, again, whatever it is, anger, frustration, that is maybe a good thing here to look at this and say, this is not what we want to be, knowing how close. I mean, I think it's one thing if you've fallen off the cliff and you're just getting smoked in these games and you stop caring, but you don't see that. And I think more than anything, you see a level of, this is not what we want to be about, this is not what we're about, and there seems to be still that level of passion in the room.
Well, let me put it like this, and I have a tear in my eye right now, because I was on the field the other day, and I was on the Cowboys sidelines, because I played there and I know a lot of people, and then for the national anthem, it was on the Browns sidelines. And I was actually down, and Frosty came up to me before the game, you know, and out of respect, he's always just very respectful to be, just say hi to me, and you know, I respect mm-hmm. that from him. But the look in his eye, that look in his eye that he had was like, oh, my God, God, will you please put him on my side if there's ever a fight? And the play he made at the end, you know, to kind of give us that chance on that sack fumble. Then I was down by the offensive linemen, and looking at the way those guys were getting ready to play, and the intensity, and I'm close with a lot of them, and I hate to say it like this, and I don't want to sound like a coward, but I was afraid to go up to them. Hmm. Okay, there was a sick, a beautiful sickness, aggressiveness in their eyes. I mean, there's
beautiful
no way
sickness.
We've lost the effort and intensity. It's there. That part people don't have to worry about. I mean, these guys and we dominated. That's why I can't stand that we lost the game, because we dominated both lines of scrimmage. Our offensive line and defensive line, yeah, we made a couple mistakes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But God, there's Rob Ryan. He does a lot of creative things,
right,
on complicated things on his fronts and pass rushes. But boy, the intensity and aggressiveness and effort, God, it was beautiful. It was beautiful to be on the field and watch that.
We're visiting with Bernie Kosar, making his regular visit here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, as we look at Brandon Whedon and his performance, a guy who had a bad outing, flat-out bad outing against Baltimore in his previous game, comes back against the Cowboys, and it looked like he had really picked things up. And overall, I know it was a better game, but it was a game that kind of was up and down for him too. Good first half, struggled somewhat through that second half, and you brought up Rob Ryan, and it looked to me like he did some things defensively, adjustments that were getting the better of Brandon Whedon and the Browns offense. And then toward the end of that second half, or toward the end of regulation, he makes that second touchdown throw to Ben Watson and seemed to get his game together. But no interceptions, and he did lose a fumble. But all in all, you know what, a solid game for him, I guess.
Yeah, again, I don't want to sound like his marketing agent or a QB homer, but that's not an easy place to play. That's not an easy defensive coordinator to play against. And I enjoyed watching him play. Okay, I love the way he throws the ball. I like some of the chances he took. He took calculated chances in clutch times. He made some clutch plays. Okay, yes, he did make some plays that, you know, he wants back that could have changed the outcome of the game. That's generally very typical in just about every quarterback game. But like I tell him, and like me and you talk on and off the air, mm-hmm. he has a special gift from God with his arm, and I just love watching him throw.
Yeah, he seemed to, in many ways, and I know you talk about that anger, that frustration, boy, it was on his face as much as anybody's afterward, because, you know, I think this was also one of those games where, hey, the other quarterback threw 50 times to take advantage, obviously, of a secondary missing Joe Hayden, and he threw for 300-plus yards, and he got a lot of pass interference penalties. You're flipping that to the other side, and you're looking at Brandon Whedon, who doesn't have that prolific a game, but he does have two touchdown passes, and that, in its own way, was critical in an outcome like that. But could he have done more, or could he have done something?
We could always do more. Yeah. Okay, yes, we could always do more. But with the quarterback, rookie or not, if you could say every game I get two touchdown throws and I get zero interceptions, you sign up for that all day long. Okay,
right,
so
right.
That part you sign up for all day long. What I liked was also, though, first the offensive line did phenomenal. God, those guys, they did a nice, nice job in pass protection. And then Brandon came down to the man, Trent Richardson. You know, I think he caught six or seven checkdowns or delayed, you know, third, fourth option on the reads. Those, I bet you, of those six or seven catches Trent had, I bet you five of them were not, he wasn't the first, second, or third option. And to know where the man is, okay, and give him the ball and let him run is something that he's growing towards. And, you know, again, if you could do every game two touchdown passes and zero interceptions, you're going to sign up for that all day long.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say. And, you know, the other thing in this game, of course, was the defensive line playing as well as it did. And I think as you go forward, now you look at this game against the Steelers, I'm liking the matchup of this Browns defensive line with Ataba Rubin, Phil Taylor, John Hughes, and Billy Winn, and the rest and everybody else around him going up against a Steeler team that obviously has some quarterback issues right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, Vic, me and you started talking about this at the beginning of the year, and I don't want to get too excited, nor do I want to get any bulletin board material for anybody in another city. We talked, though, about when you have a rotator cuff issue, like they said Ben had in training camp, they do not get better. It generally gets a little worse. And I know they're saying it's a rib issue, but the rotator in your arm, and even Byron Leftwich, at the end of the game, he couldn't throw the ball 50 yards. Something was wrong there. And we have a chance to take advantage of that this week, definitely. Absolutely right.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens on Sunday. Bernie, thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you this weekend, and we'll talk again, my friend.
Sounds great.
He is Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.